State your name and identification as message.
Robert Alley, Virginia, professor at the University of Richmond. I share a concern with my Missouri friend concerning this matter, and I am not unconscious of problems that exist with respect to denominational representation. However, I urge you to defeat this motion for at least three reasons. In the first instance, it seems to me that to automatically preclude our leadership within the state from any participation in active work of the convention by this motion is a disastrous move. In the second place, these members from states are members of local churches, I remind you. And in the third place, perhaps you should consider the extent to which this will take us away from possible leadership. It is not just one or two individuals within your state. It amounts to large numbers in the hundreds. It includes, among others, professors of religion. It also includes, which I am, that's correct. It also includes seminary professors, seminary presidents. It includes anyone, as I understand it, who is employed by any institution of the state convention. And it seems to me that this is a very dangerous thing to do, to cut off. We should depend on the state representatives, on the committee on board, to be intelligent in choice. I would expect that intelligence, and should not expect us to rule out a certain segment because they have attained a certain level of leadership. They can go nowhere else to lead. I urge you to defeat this motion.
Thank you, Dr. Alley.
Thank you,
Mr. President, I move that this be referred to the Executive Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention with instructions to return it to the convention for action in New Orleans in 1968.
Do I hear a second to the motion? I didn't understand. Is there a second? Motion made and seconded that this matter be referred to the Executive Committee for further study and for report in 1968 at the convention in New Orleans. Are you ready for the question? All favoring the referral, lift your hand. All opposed, by like sign. Down, we'll do it again. All in favor of the referral, please stand. Down, please. All opposed to the referral, please stand. And the motion is carried, and it will be referred. Thank you. Chair is called in question. Let's do it again. Now you stand where we can see you. Because the way I saw it, the motion was carried. Maybe I couldn't see. If you favor the motion to refer, stand. Are you satisfied, secretaries? All right, be seated. If you oppose, will you stand?
Huh?
I still declare the motion carried. All right, according to my time, we are out of time. Now we move on to the next item of business unless the convention authorizes an extension of time for miscellaneous business. All right, Dr. Cargears, this is a matter of courtesy and greeting. It will take only a moment. Dr. Gears, I promise to recognize you.
Dr. Franklin. Dr. Pasco, rather. We have in our convention some tremendous men. Men who across the years have made great contributions to the life of not only of our Southern Baptist Convention, but to the Christian life of the world. Such a man is Dr. James S. Dobbins. After a very brilliant career at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, he had a glorious career at our seminary in California, and now he and Mrs. Dobbins live in Birmingham, and I should like for this convention to send this telegram over the signature of Dr. Pascal, our president. Southern Baptist, grateful to God for your wise leadership of the years, miss you at our convention meetings. Our prayers are that the Lord you have served and continue to serve will sustain you during these days. 1 Peter 5:7, signed H. Franklin, Pascal, President.
You so move? Do I hear a second? Motion made and seconded, all favoring, lift your hand. Opposed, like sign, there is no opposition, and so ordered, the secretary will make this communication. Dr. Allen?
Mr. President, could we also send greetings to Dr. Louis D. Newton, who was not present last night, to Dr. Norman W. Cox, formerly Executive Secretary of the Historical Commission.
By unanimous consent of the convention, we shall send these two greetings. Is there any opposition? And so ordered. Dr. Allen. We come now to the Education Commission report, Dr. Rabin L. Brantley. All right. Brother to the left, there's no microphone. You really ought to, will you come here and run? I heard the man to the left first. Please bear with me.
Mr. Chairman, I move the extension of the time for the other motions as long as necessary that it might be have a true voice of those that have come this afternoon for this purpose.
Motion's made that we have an indefinite extension of time. That's about what it amounts to, isn't it? Indefinite extension of time. Of course, there is some limit to that. Do I hear a second?
Right here.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor of extending the time, lift your hand. Down, opposition by like sign. The motion is carried. The time is extended. And so we have dealt with item number one, microphone number four.
I think we've got to limit the speeches to about 2 minutes each.
I observe your comment with appreciation, and I was going to try to say that we cannot have, brethren, any unnecessary electrocution in this convention. I'm the world's worst offender, but I'm responsible for keeping the program in line. And please, when I tap somebody on the arm, I'm not trying to be improper or offensive, but I'm responsible to you. And now we come to the second item listed by the Committee on Order of Business, motion to appoint a committee to evaluate Southern Baptist work among the Jews. All right, it is before us. There is no motion, as I remember. Is there a motion? Was there a motion made this morning, Brother Secretary?
Yes.
There was a motion made. And it was seconded. It is now before us, ready to be discussed. All right, our brother who presented it.
Abraham Rome.
Reverend Rome.
Abraham Rome from Long Green Baptist Church. I feel that one of the most important issues that can be discussed and voted upon at this particular convention is for this entire convention to be concerned about an evangelical witness to the Jewish people of our country. I believe that if this convention convenes without taking a deliberate and a positive stand for proceeding and authorizing this convention or this committee to go ahead and put into effect for the remainder of 1967 an effective, positive witness to the Jews of this country, we shall be held accountable unto the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. I believe with the events in Israel today, what is happening is the stage setting of the tribulation, and I believe that the return of Christ is very near. And if we fail as Christians now to stand up and give a witness to the Jewish people, the Lord's brethren in the flesh, We have failed our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, this is what I suggest. I am very burdened for this because I am a Jew. I was saved 11 years ago. I have gone from place to place, and I have talked to person after person. And when I look out in even this city of Miami, Florida, I see thousands of my brethren in the flesh without Christ, and they're headed for an eternal hell. And yet, I walked out of here this noon, there are five cabbies who are eager to hear the word of God. And praise God, I had the equipment to give to them. I walked into a restaurant, Jews were listening, and Jews wanted to know about Jesus Christ. You don't know what it means. As a Baptist preacher, to know that my mother died before I was saved, and I don't know where my mother is today, but praise God, I am found faithful to the Word of God. And I suggest that this convention right now votes than authorizes, according to the proposal set before it, to establish in every state, and especially here in the city of Miami, an effective work through the cooperation of the Home Missions Board and allocating the necessary money right now to witness to the Lord's brethren in the flesh.
Dr. Douglas Hudgens.
Mr. President, members of the convention, we all join with our friend in his enthusiasm and missionary passion. But I would like, if I may, Mr. President, to call attention of the convention to the fact that in the program statement adopted by this convention and reflected on page 78 in the 1966 Book of Reports, part of the program carried on by the Home Mission Board already is witnessing to people of non-Christian world religions and to other non-evangelicals. I would like, therefore, Mr. President, if I'm in order, that this suggestion be referred to the Home Mission Board.
Motion made and seconded that our brother's suggestion and motion be referred to the Home Mission Board. Are you ready for the question? All in favor, lift your hand. All opposed, lift your hand. And the motion is carried. It will be referred to the Home Mission Board. Item number three, the motion that the Foreign Mission Board begin shortwave broadcast behind the Iron Curtain. As I recall, this also had a motion and second. And it is now open for discussion. All right. Dr. Hudgens.
Forgive me, the same thing applies for this.
Wait a minute. Don't talk till you get in the right place.
Mr. President, the same thing applies to the program statement as is reflected in the matter of the Foreign Mission Board, and I would therefore like to move that this be referred to the Foreign Mission Board.
Motion made and seconded that this matter be referred to the Foreign Mission Board. Are you ready to vote on it? All in favor of the motion to refer, lift your hand. Down, opposition, the like sign. It is carried. The matter will be referred to the Foreign Mission Board. Item number four, the recommendation that the Christian Life Commission be abolished. The motion and second came before the convention. It is now open for discussion. The chair will entertain discussion.
James Duke, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and it was my motion. And I request permission to read the preface to the motion, for on the outset it looks as bigotry. I would like to explain this to those of you that were drinking coffee, if I may have back my pink piece of paper.
Did you read it this morning?
I did, to about half this group.
Oh, no, they're all here.
There it is, right there. I believe I could have 2 minutes. It's 2 minutes long.
Well, I'd speak to it.
Speak to it.
Yeah, we've already heard it. You tell us what
you've heard it. The motion was not done then, I say to you, for the benefit of racist or racism either way, for the left or for the right. It contains no charge of malpractice against Mr. Foy Valentine and the fine people in the Christian Life Commission. It only acknowledges that the task that's been given to them is a task that can only be done by God, and then only in a heart-to-heart, church-to-church moving of His Spirit among our people. Great harm is being done in my area and in the Deep South Church's area by the activity of the Christian Life Commission in its literature and articles that have given the people in our Southern Baptist area a general distrust of Southern Baptist literature. Many are on the verge of changing to independent literature published by other publishing houses. Some in Baton Rouge already have. An independent Baptist Jim Crow High School completed its requirements for 12 grades this year. A new four-year Baptist Independent College is taking registration now. An independent Baptist hospital in Baton Rouge is being organized. An independent Baptist bookstore in Baton Rouge is being organized. Three new independent Baptist churches in the last 6 months. These people use our Christian Life Commission tracts, articles, and public stands to read over the radio to call away our members from the Southern Baptist churches and to urge us not to give cooperative program money. We need time, not tracts. We need prayers, not pressure. We need love, not lectures. God help us. Let's put this back in the hands of the local church and in the Spirit of God.
All right, we hear our brother as he speaks in favor of his motion. Dr. Trenum, identify yourself.
Mr. President, Charles Trenum from Knoxville, Tennessee. We heard a magnificent address by our president this morning, clearly delineating the total gospel of Jesus Christ, our responsibility to evangelize, our responsibility also to implement the gospel in human living in this 20th century. And I appeal to you that we not be a convention that destroys, but one that builds up and faces the issues before us. This is a most crucial hour. And I, for one, am grateful to God for our Christian Life Commission, and I pray that you also. The eyes of the world are upon us now more than we've ever known before, and, Mr. President, I urge the defeat of this resolution.
Now, brethren, let me make a request which I believe is in order. Every speaker, of course, responds to a visible or audible gesture from the audience. But it is a little misleading, a little unfair. It takes time. Let's not respond by applause. I believe it is more in order for us simply to think and let the Spirit of God stir deep in our hearts. Now let me observe also that on an issue like this, and I suppose there is not an issue bigger for any convention or any religious assembly than the issue of evangelism and social concern, there could be speaking ad infinitum. Let's try to keep ourselves brief. Let's speak to the point. We need to vote before too long. Dr. Price. Bruce, identify your message.
Bruce H. Price, Newport News, Virginia. I'll keep it very brief. I appreciate the Christian Life Commission, and I'm for it 100%.
That's brief enough. I hear the question being called for. Microphone number one, I'm sorry I did not see you. Brother, at microphone number one.
I believe we've had sufficient discussion here. Sir, I move the previous question.
Motion made and seconded. Doesn't need to be. Yes, it does need to be seconded. I'm sorry. If you favor the motion for the previous question, lift your hand. Down, opposition by like sign. The previous question has been called for. If you favor the motion to abolish the Christian Life Commission, lift your hand. down. If you oppose the motion, would you lift your hand? And the motion is lost. Now, according to the chairman, no applause, please. According to the chairman of the Committee on Order of Business, we have dealt with the matters referred to us today. Now, what is the pleasure of the convention? We have done what was specified for this hour. There are other matters that need to be presented, and I have promised brethren to recognize them at the proper time. Do we need further authorization from the convention to take up any other matter beyond these specified matters? All right, Brother Chairman, on order of business, come help me. Now, guide me here, Dr. Kendall, stay by me. Guide me here, it is my interpretation, and I may be in error, that the motion to extend the time had to do with these specific items. Otherwise, you see, it would be open-ended forever. So, let me recognize Dr. Kendall for a report on the balloting this morning, and then any word from Dr. Ellis on the order of business.
On the date of the convention for 1972, June 5th through the 9th, one decisively, on the question of the amendment on the representation on that. Also, the yeses won on that very decisively. And Landrum P. Level was elected on the first ballot for first vice president.
All right, you hear these reports. Now, am I interpreting the program right, Dr. Ellis, that we have now the Education Commission report?
That is correct. The extension of time was granted only for the four items referred from the previous.
Dr. Rayburn Brentley, please come for the Education Commission report. All who are on program, please move quickly to the microphone when your time has come to speak. Now, brethren, stay with us. We've got many important matters to consider.
Mr. President, I would like to present to you a man whom many of you know already, Mr. W. Howard Bramlett, who came with the Education Commission last September.
Dr. Brantley, please forgive this impropriety, but I must remind the messengers that according to Dr. Ellis, the recommendations from the Executive Committee not considered this morning will be considered after this report. I know you don't take reports very seriously, but you do take recommendations seriously. So please remember this. We have important recommendations following this commission report, and this commission report is important. I beg your pardon, Dr. Brent.
Thank you. I wanted to present Howard Bramlett to you. Many of you know him already. He's come with the commission to be Director of Placement and Promotion.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, somewhere the 15 minutes allotted to the Education Commission has gone with the wind. Apparently, this convention feels that there are other matters more important than education, though I personally cannot see what they are. On June, I'm going to give you back about 8 minutes of this report. I feel that I must say something about the two-year study which the Education Commission is leading in now. On June 12, 15th in Nashville will be held the second National Conference of BEST, the Baptist Education Study Task. This will be the last formal meeting of the two-year study, sponsored by the Commission and strongly backed by the Southern Baptist Convention's Executive Committee. Over 7,000 Southern Baptists in many states have made some direct study of the issues, the problems, and the solutions. It is expected that the Findings Committee will make its final report around September 15th. it was most appropriate that such a study be held. You will be interested in some of the preliminary thinking that has come as the result of hundreds of people expressing themselves. These are not final, mind you, but are suggestive of what's to come. Here are some of them, and I have numbered them 1, 2, 3 for the purpose of separating them only, not in the order of any importance. First, since church colleges are suspected of being guilty of intellectual dishonesty and unwillingness to permit free proclamation of truth, it behooves us to be doubly cautious to avoid any appearance of these evils for the sake of the gospel. Second, academic freedom is not a special privilege given to professors, but a recognition of their role as witnesses to the truth which they have discovered or examined. As a witness, the integrity of the teacher must not be compromised by rewarding or penalizing him for the content of his testimony. To apply pressure which causes the teacher to say something other than what he believes to be the truth would be as self-defeating as purchasing a fine compass and then bending the needle to make it point where the purchaser wants it to point. The teacher should distinguish clearly between facts, opinions, hypotheses, and interpretations. Third, money contributed by the denomination to the colleges is to be considered mission money. Missions and education historically have been inseparable with Baptists. Education is missions for us. Therefore, denominational contributions to colleges must be considered and treated with the same regard as all other mission contributions. Fourth, the communication gap between the majority of Baptist constituents and the Baptist College is probably the most serious problem facing Baptists and their schools today. Most Baptists think of their colleges as centers of strong religious emphases. They expect the college to evangelize, to indoctrinate, and to make consecrated Christian leaders out of their students. They generally expect the school to uphold the prevailing doctrinal position of the constituents. On the other hand, the college administrations and faculty, while concerned for religious values, do not generally consider their first duty to be evangelism and religious indoctrination. They are first of all concerned for a school with excellent academic standards. They try to help their students find proper religious motivation, but they don't believe they should be expected to do what the home and the church have failed to do in the first 18 years of the student's life. 5, the solutions of the study must face and resolve the question of federal aid so that it will not exist in the minds of the people as a possibility or a threat. Baptists cannot thrive forever with the question of federal aid half open and half closed. 6, the study points out that the colleges are fighting in the front lines of conflict between the old values we cherish and the storm troops of a secular and scientific society, and that rather than having to suffer the poison darts of their own supply line, the colleges should have the support and the sympathetic concern of their sponsors. Somebody has to be projected out front to be the cutting edge of our denomination's forward thrust and effort to keep respectable and knowledgeable of the world in which we live. The colleges need the best interest of the people rather than pot shots aimed at them constantly. Your education commission is itself experiencing the sensation of being thrust out into the swirling currents of educational thoughts and actions today. We hope the two-year study is a part of a real awakening of Baptists to the job that needs to be done. It is unthinkable that we should cut off our young people at 18 when they are ready to tackle college and say to them that we have nothing further to offer beyond the Sunday school and the training union years of their youth, and that we do not function at all as a denomination in higher education. The important thing, mind you, is not that we supply space for all of our Baptist students, but that we are engaged so far as we can be in higher education in order to be able, as a great faith, to sit in the council that will determine the direction of this nation tomorrow. Mr. Chairman, the report of the Education Commission is found on page 145 of the Book of Reports, and I move you to the adoption of this.
It is not necessary to have the motion. The report as read is received. In keeping with the ruling earlier in the day, which apparently was agreeable with the convention. In other words, what we have heard will be a matter of record, and as it is read, it is automatically received. Now, is there any part of the report the convention wishes to act on by special motion? If not, let us get an orientation now to the order of business. Next, we're going to have a congregational hymn. Dr. Hines Sims will lead us, and then there will be 20 minutes devoted to executive committee reports. We have changed our schedule to this extent. And following this 20-minute period of business, our executive committee report, there will be the report of theological seminary. Dr. Sims, it's a joy to have you here, to welcome you to the microphone to lead us in a hymn.
Let us please turn to page 58, When We Walk with the Lord, number 58. Shall we stand, please, as we sing it?
Amendment which changed the number from 100,000 to 50,000 carried. So now the motion before us has been amended. And is there any further clarifying statement? This is recommendation number 7. It concerns representation on the boards and agencies. The only change that the amendment effects is that when a state has reached 50,000 in membership of the churches, rather than 100,000, it automatically has representation on all boards, commissions, and so forth. Dr. Ruth, is there any further clarifying statement? We ought to vote on this right away.
Mr. President, I think we ought to keep in mind, one is that this does not affect the executive committee and the four major boards of the convention. The second point is that by this action that you have taken, this amendment, it has reduced the number from 10 to six, so that actually what this would provide would be that five out of these six, and that the only would always, I mean, would have representation on the various institutions and commissions of the Southern Baptist Convention. Actually, there are only nine places that are involved as representation on the agencies of the Southern Baptist Convention. And it means that these nine places would be rotated over a period of years between these six states, so that over a period of years, all of them would have representation on all of the agencies of the Southern Baptist Convention. Basically, the problem is this. As we look to the future, we hope the time will come when there will be 50 state conventions rather than the number that we have at the present time. And I think as we try to look ahead, we would not want to face a situation where people who would be representing a million Baptists, and these are not actually by state conventions, although this is the procedure that we follow to name these people, would be determining the policy for 12 or 13 or 14 or 15 million Baptists. Basically, this is the problem that we're trying to face as we have brought this recommendation to you. And so, Mr. President, as amended, it would read, all such cooperating states having 25,000 members shall have representation on the executive committee and the four major boards. Automatic representation on the trustees or the directors of the other agencies shall be given when the members of Baptist churches affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention and that state convention of that state convention exceed 50,000. Each agency, with the exception of the executive committee and the four major boards, and except for those where the membership is specifically set by the charter or convention action, shall have five trustees or directors at large elected from states having 25,000 members but not having 50,000 members. The committee on board shall seek to rotate this representation from these states on the various agencies. This amendment shall not limit the term of any trustee or director currently in office, but he shall serve until the end of the term for which he was elected.
Thank you, Dr. Ruth. These brethren standing behind me have been here a long time. They were standing in line this morning. I want to recognize them as in the order that they're standing now to bring their remarks before this convention.
Mr. President, Bill Smith, Keagle Harbor, Michigan. What this body has done in passing the amendment has said, we'll cut you, but we just won't cut you deep. Time was not adequate this morning for hearing all the concernment on the original recommendation. A ballot has already been taken and determined the number change from 50,000 to 100,000. But I believe that this still is inadequate. I believe that we have men in all of our state conventions, pioneer and all, who are adequate in education, in learning, and able to represent Southern Baptists around the world. And it is not stated for the large conventions to do this. I believe it would be an inadequate thing to pass Recommendation 7 with its amendment in any form. And I want to ask the members of this body to look seriously at the place where this passing of Recommendation 7 and its amendment might be leading us. Not wanting to voice a gripe, but simply trying to state facts that all reports will verify. Our state conventions have already lend themselves to electing men from large churches or with large degrees to lead. While I am not opposed to large churches, while I'm not opposed to higher education, I believe that this is not the standard by which we ought to go. We have heard of centralizing. Well, this is centralizing. I believe that passing this recommendation in any form other than is stated in its original intent as in your constitutional bylaws, which says bylaw 18, would be a grave mistake. I believe that our new conventions and our present pioneer conventions should have opportunity to be heard in all phases of the work of Southern Baptists. We have that special kind of men in Michigan which this recommendation seriously hinders, that is able to give great strength to our denominational work. I want to ask you to keep bylaw 18 as is.
As I promised, our next speaker will be heard. He's standing right here. He stood here early this morning. You tell us what you want to say. Let's speak to the point, be just as brief as we can, to say what ought to be said.
My name is Roy Gresham, and I'm from Maryland. After the amendment has passed, this will no longer affect Maryland, but I believe the principle is the same, and it is for that reason that I speak to it. It hardly seems consistent with the history, with the polity, and with the spirit of the Southern Baptist Convention to say that because you're a small convention that you must give up full representation on the boards and agencies of the convention. I remind myself that Southern Baptists have been a people of humble and small beginnings, and I trust that we shall never forget that our concern for the individual and for the small groups has in a great part made us what we are today. If representation is the major issue, the proposed change does not correct the problem. It does not give the larger states a greater representation. What it does, in effect, is to say that the smaller states, in some cases, can have no representation at all. Our past president of our convention said on numerous occasions that the cutting edge, the challenge of Southern Baptists is in our new and our pioneer areas. And now that we're successful in reaching out in these areas, we want to come back with some limitations. On every hand, we hear the message of involvement. Every state convention, for its own sake, needs to be involved in the work of every board and agency of our convention. To take away representation of some states on our boards and agencies would be inconsistent with our message and our emphasis on involvement. One man, one vote is the political theory in Washington. By court decision, it has been handed down to the states. It is my hope that the Southern Baptist Convention will not foster this same philosophy. I encourage you to defeat this amendment.
Thank you, Brother Gresham. And Dr. Wayne DeHoney has asked to be recognized. He's just been quoted.
I come with a bit of misgiving in that I don't want to be misunderstood. I want to first say that I think everyone here knows of my deep sense of appreciation for our Baptist work in the pioneer areas. And I want to underline and underscore and reinforce the quotation that Dr. Gresham just made and take credit for it. This is my belief, that here is the cutting and growing edge of our denominational life. But I think I should also let you know that that does not imply that I think we should not change the basis of representation. It is not a question of whether this is the growing edge of our denomination or not. It is not a question as to whether we have able men in these pioneer areas. Some of the most able and capable men we have in the denomination are there. It is not a question of centralization. This is not so. We've had these words used here. It is a question of democracy and equal representation, brethren. And this is the point, an effort to see that we have a democratic principle of representation on our boards and our agencies. Now, we do not have a balanced democratic representation the way it's now structured. And as new conventions are added on the basis of 25,000, this problem of disproportionate representation will be compounded rather than solved. And I think that Dr. Ruth has pointed into the future accurately. I think we will have a day when there will be 50 state conventions, and we will be in serious trouble as a denomination if we intend to maintain a principle of proportionate representation. Now, for example, even now we talk about state conventions and taking away their representation. Well, take the Colorado Convention. Though it calls itself the Colorado Convention, it has four or five states in it. And it's not a matter of states' rights or a state representation. It's a matter of how many people you represent, and we must broaden this base. And so I think I should come, and I want to come to say that I am, I believe, one of the best friends that any pioneer situation has, state or church. But I do not want this to imply that I do not believe we should change this to get a better representation. And I felt like I ought to say this.
Thank you, Dr. DeHoney. Now, let me observe before I recognize anyone else that we have only 7 minutes, maybe not quite 7 minutes now, for the consideration of all the recommendations of the Executive Committee. I want us to vote as soon as we can, but I want the brethren to be heard who need to be heard. All right, microphone number one.
Mr. Chairman, I was on the platform this morning. I just decided to stay down here this afternoon. It seems to me that there's an issue here that we're going to have to face as a... First of all, I should introduce myself, James Helvey from Thomasville, North Carolina.
Thank you.
There is an issue here that we're going to have to face sooner or later. We've been skirting around it, but I think it really requires further study. So what I would like to propose is that this whole recommendation be referred back to the Executive Committee to this extent, that the Executive Committee restudy the matter of representation on all boards and commissions of the Southern Baptist Convention and recommend changes so that members may either be selected without restriction to state conventions, or if the basis of participation on the board is to be representative of state conventions, then let them be selected by the state conventions just as messengers are selected by local churches. This is the issue, and I believe that sooner or later we're going to have to face it, and I suggest we begin to study it now.
Let me observe, brethren, that we, at least I think I'm right here, that we voted not to refer this morning, didn't we? Therefore, it would seem out of order, in the same audience and with the same discussion, to put this motion to refer again. I believe I'll rule in that manner I have so ruled.
Mr. President, I move the previous question.
The previous question has been moved. If you favor the previous question, will you lift your hand down? If you're opposed to the previous question, lift your hand. The previous question has been called for. We are now voting on recommendation number 7, which has been amended only at the point of changing the 100,000 requirement to 50,000. And now the motion is before the convention. If you favor the adoption of this recommendation, will you please lift your hand? Down. If you are opposed to this recommendation, lift your hand. The chair is in question. We'll stand in a moment. If you favor the adoption of this recommendation, please stand. What are you standing for? Wait a minute. I know now. You are standing in favor of the motion as amended. please be seated. Now, if you are opposed to this recommendation, as amended, will you stand? The motion requires a two-thirds majority, and it doesn't have it. So it is defeated. I so rule. Brother Maxey?
I move that we use our ballot.
Brethren, I hear a motion and no second. Motion made and seconded that we use our ballot. If you feel we ought to use our ballot, and this is a majority matter now, if you feel that we ought to use the ballot, stand up. Thank you. You may be seated. If you feel we do not need to use the ballot, stand up. Please sit down. We shall not use the ballot. The recommendation has lost. All right. Now, another recommendation from executive. Wait a minute. How much time we have? We only have 3 minutes, Dr. Ruth. What can you do in that time?
We can go on to the next recommendation. Mr. Chairman, if you look in your book, the recommendation number 8 and the other recommendations are in the bulletin. We'll have to get to them a later time. But I'll ask Dr. Allen if he'll come and say just a word about this. I don't believe there will be any particular questions about it, but we can take action on this, I believe.
Dr. Ruth, messengers of the convention, if you will refer to the copy of the Constitution and bylaws at the on the closing pages of the Book of Reports, you will see the form of the Constitution and bylaws as at present and suggested changes in lines at the bottom of the pages identified by asterisks by lines above. This is in keeping with the action of the convention last year, authorizing the secretary in consultation with the executive secretary of the executive committee and the president of the executive committee to bring back these suggested changes for consistency in editorial style and form. Unless there is question, I will not take time to discuss details. You may say this is a matter of quibbling about little matters. This is an important formal document. It ought to be in consistent and excellent form. Unless there is a question, I move the adoption of the recommendation now presented by the Executive Committee, authorizing the approval of these suggested changes with reference to the Constitution for the first approval and the final approval of the changes in the bylaws. I must now say that there are some errors in the printed corrections. They likewise are very minor details. I do not want to take your time to read them unless you insist. I'm quite willing to do so if you want these identified in red. They will be corrected in the action of the convention if you approve this recommendation. Mr. President, if there are questions, I'll be glad to answer. If not, I have made the motion to approve.
Motion made and seconded that the Constitution and bylaws be editorially amended. And one vote will amend, if it's two-thirds, will amend the bylaws, that is this year, but we'll have to vote on the constitutional amendment in two successive conventions. So the motion and second are before us. Is there further question or discussion? Question has been called for. All in favor of recommendation number 8, lift your hand. Down. Opposition like sign. It is carried. Now we're out of time, brethren. Without further instruction from the convention, we have to take up another matter. What is the will of the convention?
Mr. President, I move we extend the time 10 minutes. I believe we can finish there. I don't believe there are any points of division in the rest of the recommendations. I believe we can finish in 10 minutes.
I'm sorry you said that. We'll lose some people if we don't have some division. Now, don't get the impression that I don't like it. I like this very, very much. I'm really enjoying it. Now, the motion is that the time be extended 10 minutes. Second to the motion. Any question? All favoring, lift your hand. Down, opposition by like sign. Vote in a hurry or you'll be voting no when you're supposed to vote yes. 10 minutes are allotted. Now let's get right on with these recommendations.
If you will look in your bulletin for today. You have that. You will note recommendation number 9, number 10, and number 11 have to do really with technical changes. Number 9 has to do with including an action that was taken in 1965 as a part of the business and financial plan. Number 10 has to do with an action also taken regarding your representation on the executive committee of the Baptist World Alliance. It does not change the previous action. And number 11 has to do with the matter of the publication, really, of the program statements, which you have already adopted in the annual this year. Mr. Chairman, in order to facilitate time, we had individuals to bring that, but I'm going to recommend that these three recommendations be approved by the convention.
They are 9,
10, and 11.
10 and 11. Are all minds clear as to the content of these recommendations? Do I hear a second? Motion made and seconded. Are you ready to vote? Is it a matter of simple procedure? We've already been told there's no division of opinion here. So all in favor of the recommendations? 9, 10, and 11. Lift your hand. Opposed by like sign. They are carried.
Now, Mr. Chairman, recommendation number 12 is not one where I think there will be a division of opinion, but in many ways it is one of the most significant recommendations which has been brought to this convention in many years. Dr. Pascoe mentioned this morning at this convention in Miami in 1946, this was his first convention, and one of the big questions then was, what were Southern Baptists going to do about funding the old annuity plan? This was a great problem for the convention. We're happy that it has been finally successfully funded, and we're asking Mr. Ed Crawford from Texas to bring this recommendation.